Our scripture this morning is from John chapter 6, verse 1 through 21. And we'll do 1 through 15. Scripture reads in John chapter 6, starting in verse 1, it says, Jesus crossed Lake Galilee, which was also known as Lake Tiberias. A large crowd had seen him work miracles to heal the sick, and those people went with him. It was almost time for the Jewish festival of Passover, and Jesus went up on a mountain with his disciples and sat down. When Jesus saw the large crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip, Where will we get enough food to feed all these people? He said this to test Philip, since he already knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered, Don't you know that it would take almost a year's wages just to buy only a little bread for each of these people? Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, and one of the disciples, he spoke up and said, There's a boy here who has 5 loaves of barley bread and 2 fish. But what good is that with all these people? The ground was covered, with grass. And Jesus told his disciples to have everyone sit down. About 5,000 men were in the crowd. And Jesus took the bread in his hands and gave thanks to God. And then he passed the bread to the people. And he did the same with the fish until everyone had plenty to eat. The people ate all they wanted. And Jesus told his disciples to gather up the leftovers so that nothing would be wasted. And the disciples gathered them up and filled 12 large baskets with what was left over from the 5 barley loaves. After the people had seen Jesus work this miracle, they began saying, This must be the prophet who's to come into the world. And Jesus realized that they would try to force him to be their king, so he went up on a mountain where he could be alone. This morning I want to take you back many years to the years of when you were a child. And if you have siblings, you can relate better to this trip down memory lane. Everyone just close your eyes for just a moment. Maybe some of you dealt with this morning. Just close your eyes for just a moment. To that time, I want to take you back to when you were in the kitchen of your mother. Or the kitchen of your grandmother's house, when you were just a innocent, precious child. Can you smell it baking in the oven? I don't know what you're smelling. Maybe it's some apple pie. Maybe it's some peach cobbler. Maybe it's just your favorite cake. Can you smell it? Now, after cooling down for just a bit, you and your siblings, your brother and sister, or they line up with your plate, and your mother or grandmother starts to put the pieces on your plate, and your mouth begins to water, and your cheeks are busting at the seams from smiling. The anticipation is overwhelming. And after all of you have had the pieces of that pie or cake put on your plate, you take a little subtle glance over at your brother or sister's piece. And you realize, their piece is a little bit bigger. Wait a minute. Their piece has nuts. Theirs has more icing. And it's all over from there. Tragedy. And if you were like me, you ended up with no dessert because he made such a big deal about it, you got sent to the room. You know, ever since we were children, up until this moment now, today, we have had a struggle. And that struggle is realizing what we have. Perhaps we're a product of our own entitlement, our own sense of entitlement, which I can say that I fight on a daily basis. Or perhaps we can attempt to blame the culture in which we live in that constantly pushes us to do bigger things, to strive for greatness. If you're going to do it big. We see it all around us, right? People no longer satisfied with just a nice house. And they drive themselves to the point where they're thousands and thousands of dollars in debt for a bigger house. People who are no longer satisfied with just an 8-hour work day, but we work ourselves to the bone where our relationships with our spouses and our children begin to fail. Or we have now children who are no longer good at just the sports of what the school has to offer. We are now being great at the things our clubs have to offer. Constantly on the go. To the point where statistics show we're sending our kids to college and they don't know how to function anymore. Because they don't have that parent. We see it all around us. And this mindset is not just in the life of our church or the life outside of the church. It's inside of our church. We began to think if we could only get more members. We began to think if we could only get that right person to walk through that door. If we could only add enough ministries, then we can be bigger. We can be better. Now, don't hear me wrong this morning. Do I believe we need goals? Absolutely. Do we need desires? Yes. Do we need to be motivated in life? Of course. For it is those who dreamed big and pushed the limits that made a way for you and I to enjoy many things that we enjoy today. I tell my students all the time, dream big. I believe our students have the answers to and cures to many of the diseases we have today and answers and solutions to many of the toughest struggles that we face. Keep that drive alive. But as I look at the text this morning, and it's a familiar text, the feeding of the 5,000, I'm brought to the question, when is it enough? Do we value, truly value what we have? And more important, do we truly value who we have? Have I become so wrapped up in how much prettier that other piece of cake is that I have forgotten the piece that sits right before me? So we have this story of Jesus and his disciples at the sea or the lake of Tiberias. And this massive crowd is coming towards them because, you know, they've seen Jesus heal people, countless people. And Jesus being Jesus, he's always looking for a teachable moment. He asked his disciples the question, how are we going to feed all these people? And I wonder how much it's going to cost. And he asked it in a way that, you know, he already knows what's going to happen. And sometimes we forget that the disciples, they were humans. And sometimes we forget that Jesus, yes, fully God in the flesh, was also 100% human. Sometimes we have the mindset that the 12 disciples and Jesus walked around with an aura on them and a glow. Or that they spoke in King James and they floated instead of walked. But when I hear this passage, I picture my group of friends. And so picture your circle. I know my friends. And more than that, I know me. And my family says that I'm one of the most sarcastic persons they know. But I'll confess, there's some sarcasm in there, but I picture Jesus being sarcastic. He already knows what's going to happen. And with some sarcasm in his tone, he says, I wonder how much it's going to cost to feed these thousands. And Philip, being the first to speak up, I guess Peter was in the bathroom. So Philip is the first to speak up here. And he says, excuse me? Jesus, feed them? Now, do you know that we have been walking around? We haven't been riding around in chariots. We didn't come on horses. We don't even have donkeys. We've been walking. And do you not know that we have left everything behind? We didn't pack any bags. We don't have any emergency tote bags. We've left it all. And even if there was some miraculous way that we had 6 months of wages, there are thousands and thousands of people out there. We don't have enough. Now, by this time, the disciples are probably looking at each other thinking, yeah, right. Now, I know, I think that Jesus probably had a little smirk on his face. You see, I think I get my sarcasm from Jesus. And then here comes Andrew. He comes in the scene and he says, oh, hey, look, I found something. A boy with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And I picture the rest of the disciples, you know, having that moment when somebody says something that just makes you think, what? And they all look at each other and just start laughing. That's what I picture they having this moment. Now, the thinking must have been, look, Jesus, I know you've healed a lot of people. Okay, that's great. But we're talking about 5,000 men. And that's just the men. What about their wives? What about, and we all know they had children back then, right? So we're at thousands and thousands of people. Now, Jesus, you may be powerful. And we've seen you do some great things. But you really think you can do something? Is this really enough? You see, friends, I don't think that the problem is the drive. I don't think it's the pursuit to be better that ruins us. Perhaps the struggle is that we've come today not realizing the value and worth of what and who we already have. And more than that, like Philip and Andrew, we've looked at the fish and loaves and thought it wasn't enough, forgetting who we were sitting right in front of. This morning, I think we are like Philip and Andrew. We hear things in the Bible like the Great Commission. And we hear things like the greatest commandment, to love God with all of us, all of ourselves, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we say, are you kidding me? I mean, all we have are 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. We do it in and out of the church. I'll be the first to confess that there are many times throughout the week that I think, there's no way. You know, when I was growing up, I didn't think that I would grow up and have children in a world that I would have to explain the tragedies that we hear on a weekly basis. I didn't think that I would worry about going to places that once were places of family entertainment, and now they're places of war zone. I didn't think that just because I didn't agree with somebody or didn't see eye to eye on things, that we couldn't work together for the betterment of our world. That I still couldn't call them a friend. But can I ask you something this morning? When did impossible become a word, an acceptable word in the vocabulary of a Christian? When did we decide that things and people are not worth the fight? When did we think and come to decide that things are not worth any sacrifice, are not worth our time? I look at the passage this morning and have I forgotten this great and almighty God that we serve? Have I forgotten that He loves us? That He loved us before we even came into existence? Have I accepted this world as the norm? Have I decided to put my hands down and just give in? Accept things as, well, this is just the way it is. You see, whether you're looking at your piece of cake and thinking it's not good enough. Or you're looking at your loaves and fish and thinking it's not enough. We have forgotten who is sitting right in front of us. Can I share something with you this morning? Because we're family, right? Whether you like it or not, we're family. When I decided to go into full-time vocational ministry, it was one of the most exciting times of my life. Mostly because I spent a lot of years struggling with what to do with my life. I thought I wanted to be a nurse. I thought I wanted to go into music education, business, criminal justice. And to finally know what I was supposed to do was a relief. I was young and fresh and ready to hit the gate running. I had ideas, mostly dumb ones, but I had ideas. And I was ready to hit that gate running. And when I did, none of my family was behind me. You see, I tell you the story not because I'm looking for sympathy, but because I experienced something in that moment that I never experienced before. You see, when my family, because of certain religious beliefs, decided that I was no longer welcome in their circle because of my faith, it was the people in the church, the men of God, who said, "Gabe, I'll be a father for you." It was the women who would call and check that said, "I'll be that mother. I'll be that grandparent." It was the men and women in the music team that I played with that became the brothers and became the sisters. It was the families who every night I had a place at their table. They became enough. The church wasn't very big, but they helped me realize that whatever we have, and whoever we have, when we bring it to Jesus, then it is everything you will ever need. And there is no limits to how God can use it. They were enough. And because they were enough, then I can keep doing what I'm doing. Church, you are enough. This passage is all about realizing that the miracle was not in the fish and loaves. It could have been anything. It could have been spaghetti and meatballs. It could have been breakfast tacos. It could have been anything. But the miracle was not in that bread. And the miracle was not in that fish. The miracle was in the presence of God. The miracle was in the fact that Jesus was present with them. And no matter what they had, it would have been enough. No matter who we have here, it is enough. We at First Bridgeport were fortunate to have a wonderful pastor. My favorite thing about Pastor Sam is that he is an empowering pastor. He believes in every member ministry. He believes in equipping the congregation to lead. And I think he takes his cues from Jesus. Let us remember the legacy that we come from. You sit here today, not because all of a sudden we had 30 million Christians and beautiful sanctuaries to celebrate in. You sit here today because once upon a time, 12 men sat in a room. And they asked themselves, "Are we enough? We're just 12. After the multitudes have left, and Jesus ascended, they sat and they asked, "Are we enough?" This morning, there's great work to be done in our communities of Wise County. Do me a favor this morning and look around. Don't focus on the empty pews. Don't focus on how other people operate. I ask you here today, are you enough? Do you have enough love? Is there enough compassion? Is there enough passion to accomplish the task that we has been set before us by God Himself? Is there room to grow? Yes. Do we want a full room? Yes. Do I work for the day that there is only standing room in here? Yes. But what I have today is you. And today, that is enough. Today, you are family. Today, we stand hand in hand, poised to make a difference in our community, in our nation, and in our world. Don't forget what you have right in front of you, even if someone else's piece looks different. Don't doubt the presence and power of Jesus Christ and what He can do with those fish and loaves. So is it enough? The answer can only come from our passage this morning. When Andrew asked Jesus, "How can you do this great miracle with just these loaves and fishes?" And Jesus says, "Sit down and watch this." In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.